Blog Talk Radio. To you, what are you searching for? This is Kathy Holloway Hill, and you are listening to the Living by Design show. I'm in the mood for love simply because you're near me. I know singing was not why I was placed on this earth. I know. But I just had to say that or sing that little verse there because tonight, today, whether you're listening in the morning, afternoon, or whatever time you're listening, and wherever you're listening in from all over the globe, we are going to have a very frank and candid, wonderful conversation today with an individual who knows a lot about that topic. Love and romance, and we are in the month of love and romance. Welcome to the show, because we have some information for you that is going to blow you away, and I know you are going to just love it, because we all want to know what our compatibility code is. We have a guest, and I am not going to steal her thunder, but she has written a book, and I tell you, I had an opportunity to read the compatibility code, An Intelligent Woman's Guide to Dating and Marriage, and it is truly phenomenal. Miss Elizabeth George is going to be coming on the line here, and she is the author of this best-selling book, and she's going to be coming on to talk about this and her work and the success of this book and everything that it contains, and we're also going to discuss it and talk about some of the principles that she talks about in the book. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Elizabeth on the line because I am very excited and anxious to get this conversation started. Good evening, Miss Elizabeth. How are you doing?
I am doing fabulous. How are you, Kathy?
I am fabulous as well, and I am even more fabulous after reading that book. I learned a lot.
I'm really glad.
Yes, I learned a lot. I am actually engaged, and I'll be getting married in May.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! And it's my second time around and the final time. So I really learned a lot. Thank you for writing that book. Now, just before we get started in our conversation, Elizabeth, go ahead and just tell our listeners a little bit about you and who you are.
Well, I am currently living in Alberta, Canada. And everybody says, what is a good Alabama girl like you doing up in Alberta, Canada? Well, I confess, I moved here for love.
Aww.
And I met my husband on Match.com, and
I really love that.
He had this process that he wanted us to follow. It had about, I don't know, 13 steps, and it was asking questions about this and that. It helped me get to know myself better, and because, of course, we're long distance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through the process, and we ended up falling in love and getting married, and we felt that we were brought together to actually write that book, live the process of the book, which is finding a forever marriage using compatibility and then love as kind of the process, you know. So we worked with that subject for a number of years before we published the book. I'm a mother of twin 18-year-old daughters, and he has three grown children, so we have a blended family, and we had both been through divorces.
Wow.
So, you know, as we struggled with how to do it right the next time, what would we do different? How would we know whether what we did the first time was the problem, or was it us, or was it him, or them? And so that's what we're all about, Kathy.
Well, you know, I'm really excited to hear you. And I knew a lot of that because of, you know, I've read all your information, but I just wanted some of our listeners to know a little bit about your background. because I'm in that boat as well. Tons of people are in that boat. Well, we know first marriages, it's about what, about 55% divorce rate. Second marriages, it gets higher. Marriages is even higher. So I know there's a ton of individuals out there who are listening that want to know what is going on and how can we prevent it. And because I learned a lot. This will be both of our second marriage, and I want it to be my last.
Yes, you do.
I want it to be my last. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this again. And so you formed a company, Compatibility Solutions, Inc., was created to help people with this type of how to choose and build great relationships, right?
That's right. My husband has a PhD in psychology and is a practicing psychologist, and I have a master's in human resource management. So kind of in a strange way, my job was about picking people, right? And his job was about understanding people. And we began to put this three-step code together, we thought, what if we use foundational principles that are useful in businesses and blend it with accurate research on behavioral psychology, but then put it in language that's useful to anyone that is looking to do it right?
Right, absolutely. And you know, let me just share a couple of little stats with you, which you probably already know. I did a little bit of research, and actually I discovered that the desire for love and romance is the number one most desired entity on the planet, ahead of a desire for good health and wealth.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not surprising
that.
since having wealth means nothing if you have, you know, no one that you love to share it with, so I shouldn't be surprised at that. But, yes, it is the number one desire that everyone has on their mind. They want to have someone that they're compatible with, they love, and they can share their life and be happy with that individual. That is huge.
And then the follow-up piece for that that's so perfect, the research shows us that the number one indicator of your life satisfaction is the quality of your intimate relationships.
Absolutely. I have heard that, too, about physical health longevity, you know, that it lower heart attacks, you know, lower rates on all different types of illnesses when you have a mate that you're happy and compatible with. So, yeah, it's just across the board on so many different topics and areas of your life. This is a very critical. We were placed on this earth to be and connect with others. We weren't placed on this earth to be alone.
That's right.
So I truly, truly believe in that. Now, first, let's just start out with dating and mating. So we know we have to start with the dating piece because that's where it all begins. I love your story about meeting online because there are so many individuals who just they feel like that's a curse. It's, oh, no, don't do that. Well, what's the difference in meeting online versus meeting someone out at a public place?
There is foundationally no difference. I know that sounds really crazy. You're saying, well, I can see them when we're in a public place, and I can't see them when we're online. But when you are looking for someone to be with, you first need to know yourself.
That's right.
You know yourself and your own strengths and your own weaknesses and you know what you're looking for, then the dangers of being misled when you meet them in person are different and yet equal to the dangers of being misled online.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be savvy in the media or medium that you're using. I mean, it's like if we need to get from point A to point B, we could take a bike, we could take a train, we could take a plane, but we kind of have to look at the terrain and know what the dangers are today and which form should I use. Internet dating has its own difficulties, as does meeting somebody in public. The Internet's only been around as a mechanism for dating since about 1997. We could argue a couple of years either way. And the divorce rate has been at 50% much longer than that.
Right.
So we're really not talking about Internet dating. We're talking about do you know yourself and what you're looking for as a precursor to the dating process.
That's a very good point, Elizabeth, because a lot of people do try to blame failed relationships and failed attempts on internet dating and you can't see the person and they mislead you, well, you can be misled in other aspects as well. Now I have to ask you this question because I know it's on the minds of our listeners. Now, we've heard that, or we know, not we've heard, but we know that there are there are many, many books on the market about this topic. What makes your compatibility code book different from other books on dating and marriage?
At my best answer for that, it is that our book is actually about a different section of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the books on the market are about what happens once you are in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
how to make yourself more sexy. Sometimes it's how to attract the right guy. We don't see that many about marriage preparation, dating preparation. Almost everything there is addressing the romance once it has begun and or the marriage once it has begun to deteriorate.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, how to attract someone. But before you can attract someone, I mean, there's a lot of toxic things that attract stuff. So, I mean, you don't know what's inside of you. You could be toxic. You could still attract something, but it may be the wrong thing.
Well,
so
and I
like the fact that you start with the individual.
Absolutely. And even if it's not from the toxic standpoint, because we all carry something in us that is going to be damaging to other relationships, and we have to find out how much of a problem that is. But let's start with the positive first. Let's just talk business for a second. Before a business produces a product and markets it to the consumer, they find out about the consumer. They research it first and what's going to fit that person before they start sending out a message. If you don't know who you are and what will fit best with you, you're likely to send the wrong message to the wrong person. Let me give you an example. There was a lady that I was coaching that was from a culture that believed that the woman should be like a kitten, a servant, should have the meals ready, should really make her man always feel really good about herself. So when she would go out for the first couple of times, she presented herself as a kitten. Well, in real life, she earned over a six-figure income. She was an entrepreneur. She knew what she wants. She knew how to get it. So on about the third date, that man who thought he had captured a kitten went to put it in his pocket, and out came a tigress. And he goes, "Whoa, you're not who you said you were." And so we do that a lot, unwittingly. And the other thing that we do is we follow with intense fervor the belief that there is a knight in shining armor out there for us.
Oh, yes. I absolutely love what you talk about in the book, the Prince Charming myth. Well, first let me ask you this question. What can women expect to get from the compatibility code? What is in it for them specifically?
What is in it is going to be steps and self-analysis that they can do to help them identify where they are in the process of dating. Just like if you walk into a restaurant and there's a buffet, sometimes you've already had an appetizer somewhere else and you're coming in for the main event. Other times you've already had dinner, you're ready for the dessert. The code itself is going to appeal in different stages to where someone is. So they may pick up the book. I've got a short version of it that I recommend that's right there in the table of contents. And it says, you know, read until, you know, at least get through these couple of chapters and then get through this. Now you're ready to date. And if you reach that point and you're just skimming and you're saying, yep, done that, done that, done that, then you'll find, for instance, some suggestions on how to have a conversation with a person that you're dating to see if they are similar in the most foundational areas of importance to yourself.
Yeah, I did love the way the book was structured and organized, because you're right, you do have it set up where if an individual is interested in this piece and not so much that piece, that they could skim and jump, and you know, so I love the way it's structured and rearranged. And I also like what you just said about the steps and the self-analysis, because in the restaurant scenario, because you can't fix what you don't face. So if you're continuing to fail over and over and over in this area, and so you've got to ask yourself, using that restaurant scenario, obviously you had a bad meal at the last restaurant that you went to, and you know, maybe you got a little food poisoning. So now you're going to be very skittish and very nervous going back to the next restaurant, even though it's another different restaurant, totally different, unrelated to the last one, but you still have these issues in your head that you haven't resolved because the previous meal was bad.
And so the idea of the self-analysis is we recommend that people come up with a list of what we call 8 essence qualities.
Yep.
This is like the ingredients of yourself, like the ingredients of an oatmeal cookie or a chocolate chip cookie. And once you know those ingredients, once you know the core of who you are, then when you are looking, you would be able to identify whether that person is going to fit with one of your essence qualities. Going to the restaurant idea, let's say you're allergic to wheat and didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you go to a restaurant, you are going to get ill because what you did not know was that you had an allergy. So by identifying our core, we and our disqualifiers, we come to recognize what is good for us and what we should stay away from.
And when we come to this realization and recognize these things, we can't look at it as failure. Failure is not final. It's feedback. That's what I always tell my clients. Failure is not final. It's feedback to get you to the level or get you to the goal that you're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely. And the idea here is that you might prefer to live in a highly urban, sophisticated environment on the 10th floor of a shiny condominium, and he wants a dude ranch. Now, y'all met on vacation in Jamaica, and there was some beach romance. And you're talking about your future, and you're an entrepreneur, and he's got this ranch, and oh, doesn't this lifestyle seem wonderful? But what you hadn't figured out is that the dude ranch can't live on the condominium, and the condominium isn't going to manage itself out at the dude ranch.
Right.
So what we do inadvertently when we're dating without self-awareness is we will become attracted to their intellect, the flash of their eyes, their smile, the way they treat us, all good things. These aren't bad things. They're just not long-term predictors of marital success.
Right. Yes. And that's why I said I learned so much. Now let's go ahead and jump into, because I do want to, you know, get some discussion in here about marriage. Let me just ask you, Elizabeth, you know, I know you did a lot of research before you guys finished the book. What is the number one reason, what did you determine from your research is the number one reason that so many marriages fail?
It is because they based their marriage decision on the intensity of their emotions and not on the reality of what they were together.
Mm.
They fundamentally believed as they walked down that aisle that love would carry them through, that there's no possible way they could love that much and the marriage not work.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they were unfortunately doing is putting feeling before considering the fit. And we're not...
Go ahead.
Well, we're not about no love. Love's going to happen. We're good at that. Women in particular are going to fall in love. We just want you to think about the fit before you start feeling.
Mm-hmm. You also talk a lot about reducing the emotions surrounding relationship decisions. So So how can people do that and still call it love? So, I mean, are you saying that love is bad and we should eliminate it from the process of choosing a partner? Or what are you saying when you say that?
Absolutely not. Love is not bad. Love is wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
But what we're saying is that before you meet someone, before you put yourself out there as market ready, determine what those eight characteristics are. Mm-hmm. Then you're on your first date. And let's say, because I know a little bit about you, too, as well. Let's say you discover, you know about yourself that you always enjoy growth. You like to go to seminars. You like to give seminars. You want to be a conduit to the world, helping people live by design.
Absolutely.
And this guy is sitting there, and he's saying, well, I don't like conferences. Or you're two or three dates in, and there's something that you wanted to ask a question about, and you said, you know, I've got a friend that's an expert in this. Why don't we talk to them? Oh no, I don't talk to anybody else about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you didn't realize, if you had not defined yourself as a person of perpetual and continuous growth, you wouldn't recognize in him the indices that he was content where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else in your life and dating might be great, but at the end of the day, you are actually going to be morphing and changing and growing, and he is still going to be the person you met on the first date because he is content with the way he is.
And you are just so right on with that, because I see everything you're saying right now, everything I read in the book, it's exactly why my first marriage failed. I mean, we were living, of course, I got married for the wrong reason, as you mentioned in your book. And this time around, it's like we are so on the same page. I mean, we both have similar goals and desires, and we support each other's dreams and goals and events. And it's just so true. Everything you said is so true.
One of life's, our culture's cruel inaccuracies is that a great marriage is where the husband and wife complete one another.
Mm.
That is a cruel inaccuracy.
Yeah.
The correct statement is that you bring all that you are and he brings all that he is, and together you improve one another.
Oh, I like that.
But if we go with the idea of completion, then we're saying, I am not a whole person. And without you, I cannot be happy. I was doing an interview not too long ago in Birmingham, and the woman was saying how she didn't want to have to give up herself in order to marry. She was perfectly content at 55 without dating or marriage. And she said, well, I date, but it's not dating to marriage. And all of her friends, you know, are saying, oh, but you need a husband. You need to be married. You know, she's from Alabama and the South. It's all about that partnership and the ring. And that is the point, Kathy. We don't need to relinquish who we are in a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We bring everything to the table, and we create a better entity because of that other person or partner in our
mm-hmm.
in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because of it, your marriage then becomes a place of course you're going to have arguments, and of course you're going to have friction, and of course you're going to have disagreements, and we're women, we're going to cry, and we're going to yell, and, you know, whatever your temperament is, sulk.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's going to be about, yeah, but you know what? Look at what we're accomplishing. And he's going to go, yeah, and I'm willing to invest in that. Time, money, support, emotion. And you're looking at him, develop his hopes and his dreams, his career path, or endure the downturn in the economy. You know, it's not all, excitement. And you're saying, yeah, I can support you in that. I believe in you. I believe it because look at how you're investing in yourself and in our marriage, and how you are taking those classes or doing what it takes to make it.
Yes. And Elizabeth, I know we'll probably have to have you back on here, but I have a couple of few things I want to say because I know we've got 5 minutes left. But I just first I want to just make a statement, and then I want to ask you a question. But there were a couple of things in the book that really jumped out at me, and I said there was so much that I learned, but these were really critical ones for me, is that I love what you talked about, the 5-to-1 ratio, gratitude versus criticism. I love that, and you all have to purchase the book to understand what I'm talking about, but it's very powerful. And
powerful.
I love what you said about having communication and conflict resolution skills. And then you referred to an insurance, because it's an insurance plan for your future relationship success. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I had never thought of that. You have to have a conflict resolution plan in your marriage, in your relationship. So when conflict arises, you will already know how to resolve it. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Because emotions are going to take over when you're in the midst of it.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to have the plan ready to go. So that really jumped out at me, and I absolutely love it. And it's a lot more tidbits, but those were two that I really love. And then I want to ask you this question because I want to make sure we've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to make sure you have an opportunity to address the ladies, because I hear so many ladies email me about this. What would you say to women who have failed in love and or marriage, but they still long for a lasting, loving relationship, and they're afraid and they're nervous and they're starting to question whether or not they're good enough and are there enough men out there and all of these things? What would you say to those women who have failed but they're afraid to get back out there and do it again?
What I would say to those women would be the same thing you would say to any athlete, however young, however seasoned, that has hurt themselves seriously. And that would be, okay, where are you now? What type of injuries do you have? Do you need help with them? Do you need a doctor to break, you know, to help with the break? Or do you just have, you can self-medicate? And then the next question is, how badly do you want to be in a relationship? Is it because you want the sharing, or is it because you yourself are not complete? That yields its obvious answer. First, you need to be satisfied with yourself. And if the answer is, well, yeah, you know, I'm an entrepreneurial woman, I've got a good job, but I just despair that there's anybody out there for me. If you are healthy and you are ready to date again, and I've got some questions in the book that help you determine that,
right,
then you have to determine what am I looking for and not compromise.
Right.
And so,
because there are so many women, you're so right about that, because there are so many women who say they want to find love, and they go right back into a situation with an individual that was exactly like the one they failed with.
That's right. But, you know, women between the ages of 35 and 55 are the number one consumers of self-help books in the U.S., and so that means to the ladies that are listening to us right now, those gals that have, you know, feel fearful, they don't want to reenter the market, it is well worth, if they were constructed and believe they were constructed to be in a relationship, to educate themselves, to make sure they don't have anything foundationally wrong, and then step out with their shopping list and pass by the bins where they know they shouldn't be shopping, and continue to look and keep that eye out for a best fit.
Now, Elizabeth, please give us your website. Where can the listeners get the book?
www.compatibilitycode.com.
Pretty simple.
Pretty
simple.
Can
they get it on Amazon?
They can get it on Amazon. It's
okay.
Got two editions. Look for the second edition that has a woman's face on the front. So we're in second edition, and it's the more recent book. It sells for about $20.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll probably have you back, because I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of email questions, and so we'll probably have you back for part two. But I just want to end with this quote, and I know you've all heard it before, many different ways, many different forms, but we know it was first created by the great Albert Einstein. If you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, why do you expect to get something different? You've got to do something different if you want to have something different. So we're going to end on that note, and I'm going to thank you for joining us. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill. We're in the month of love, and we're going to have topics all month related to love and marriage and dating. So please come back. Join us next week. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. You were
thank
a wonderful
you.
Wealth of knowledge, and we will have you back on the show.
That's
good
awesome.
Night, everyone, and we'll see you this time next week.